You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. If you've noticed Boise's been feeling a little warmer than usual, you're not wrong. In a report published by Climate Central, Boise is listed among the 20 fastest warming cities in the United States, coming in at number 13. Since 1970, the city's temperature has risen more than 3 degrees Fahrenheit, warming 2 times faster than the rest of the nation. Joining us on the phone today live to talk more about this is one of the authors of the report, Sean Sublett. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma, so much for having us. Appreciate it much.
Absolutely. So, Sean, how many cities and states were part of this study that you did?
We did an analysis of more than 240 cities across the United States, try to get a very good geographical distribution, and almost all of them showed some kind of a warming signal. There are a few exceptions along the way, but this is fairly consistent with what we know about a warming planet.
And why was the decision made to do a study like this and focus in particular on cities in the United States?
Sure. Our organization exists basically to kind of get out there and do the analysis and convey results of what a warming planet and what a warming country means for us in the United States and as global citizens for that matter as well. And we've had a lot of queries about, well, where is it warming the fastest? So going back last spring, we took a closer look at 240 cities that we do regular analyses of. To see where the warming was individually the fastest. And there are several of them were in the Intermountain West.
So why the Intermountain West? Any theories about that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ideas. You need to get deep into the literature to understand exactly, the scientific literature, to understand why one particular city might be warming than another one at a particular rate. But one of the things we do know is that arid climates, such as Idaho, where the ground is not wet very often, will warm and cool very, very easily. So with that in mind, we kind of expect with a relatively dry ground, I mean, only 11 to 12 inches of rain fall on average in Boise during a calendar year, these areas are going to respond more quickly to a warming atmosphere. So we think that's probably part of the reason that we've seen the warming a little bit more intense there in Boise. Secondary to that is that the population's almost doubled in the last 40 years, and that means there's an increase in infrastructure and increased urban heat island effect. You have concrete, you have pavement that gives up its heat during the nighttime. So these two things working together are probably responsible for the heating that we've seen in Boise.
And then are there some common side effects that cities experience that have these rising temperatures?
Well, within the cities themselves, you start to think about populations that are not quite of means. Maybe they don't have air conditioning, places that get very hot within the cities, and they don't cool off as much at night. The people living there, when you get into one of these hotter spells, which we're increasingly starting to see, body doesn't have a chance to recover at night from the intense heat of the day. Fortunately, it's not a massive problem in Boise and most of Idaho as it is in some of the bigger cities. I think a lot of the issues ultimately for Idaho are going to be with a declining snowpack. The amount of precipitation that falls during the winter, the amount of precipitation itself hasn't changed, but the percentage falling as snow has declined. And as a result, you're going to have lower amounts of snowpack. And that's very important for spring and summer and early fall irrigation purposes. Stream flows. You're going to have streams that end up being warmer in summer because the snowpack is melted a little bit earlier. And then that plays a role in fishing and recreation because the cold water fish are going to be struggling in warmer streams, creeks, and that kind of thing.
Now, you know you're going to have some naysayers out there. And the one of the reasons being is that, you know, yesterday, for example, it was in the 70s in Boise.
Sure.
Today, it's in the 80s. We've actually had a fairly mild summer. So to be that devil's advocate, people are going to say, how in the world can it be warming, yet we have, you know, a summer that's much more mild than it normally is?
That's a fabulous question, and it's the difference between weather and climate. There are always going to be these fluctuations from season to season and from year to year. So what we're looking at is the much longer term 20, 30, 40-year averages. You know, for an analogy here, if you look at a baseball season, some team is going to win the World Series at the end, but that team might have a really bad day, a very bad inning, a very bad losing streak, but they still win the World Series. So there are always going to be these ups and downs, for sure. But in the long term, the warming trend is undeniable.
We're talking with Sean Sublett. He's one of the authors of Climate Central's report on America's fastest warming cities, and Boise is number 13. So, Sean, what other cities were included among the fastest warming? Like, what was number one?
Well, number one was Las Vegas, and they have a very similar situation there, a booming population. It's an arid landscape. So as a result, we think the warming is a little more enhanced there. We've seen the same thing, El Paso, Tucson, Phoenix. Those are the top four. And those are all basically in the western United States. And you will see some other local effects, Burlington, Vermont, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Helena, Montana. So all of these have small local effects which might help them be a little warmer or a little cooler than a surrounding area.
So can people do anything to help with this warming trend? I mean, or is it kind of like, you know, this is just the way it's going to be?
Well, you know, because most of this is driven by the increased greenhouse effect, by the burning of fossil fuels for energy, you know, the increased carbon dioxide and to a secondary effect, methane. Anything you do, and you hear it a lot of times, reduce your carbon footprint. Because anything we do now does pay dividends down the road. A lot of people wondering, is there anything we can do, or are we all just kind of finished and we just have to wait for the warming to occur? Anything we do now helps mitigate or slows down additional warming in the decades to come, because it takes a while as the carbon dioxide builds up in the atmosphere for the atmospheric temperature to respond. I mean, we've been pumping CO2 in the atmosphere at a very high rate over the past 50 or 60 years, but it's really been the last 10 to 20 that the signal has really emerged that we're warming the overall planet. So one of the things you can do, there are little things and there are bigger things, depending on what your means are, what your budgets are. I mean, you could do simple things like recycle a bit more. You can replace your light bulbs from incandescents to, you know, CFLs, compact fluorescent lighting. If you were of means and you want to drive an electric vehicle, that also helps as well. So those are the kinds of things you can do, just, you know, reducing what you use, conserving. It doesn't mean you have to go without. It just means you have to think things through a little bit more closely.
And I thought this was something interesting in your report, because your report also mentioned that there were actually six cities that have gotten cooler or not changed at all. So can those cooler temperatures be attributed to anything specific?
That's a little tougher sell, because you want to go into each one of those cities in particular and look at where their instrument has been sitting. Has it been moved from one side of town to the other? We've seen that in places like Denver, places like Lynchburg, Virginia, where the sensor has been moved to a little bit of a cooler spot.
Oh, interesting.
And conversely, there are other places where it's moved into a warmer spot. That's the case in Reno. And the temperature of Reno was so high, we omitted it from the report because we felt it wasn't representative of what was really going on.
What were those cities that remained the same or got cooler?
I don't have them all in my head, but there were a very small number. You're correct in that.
So if people want to read the report for themselves, can they do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our website is climatecentral.org, O-R-G. You can search American warming.
Okay.
At climatecentral.org, and they can go right to the report.
And how many years have you been doing this, this study? Because it sounds like it's been ongoing over the years.
This is a particular study, one that we worked on. We kind of had it in the back of our minds for a while, but it took us about a month, 6 weeks to compile the data here and kind of put it together in this particular report. I mean, we do different reports on a weekly to 2 week basis and put those out in a briefing we call Climate Matters. Actually, we send them to KIVI and a couple other outlets in Idaho as well. So this is something we do on a fairly regular basis.
Well, I sure appreciate your time. I think this is a fascinating topic and good information, just I think as, you know, people living in one of these cities. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you for the invitation, Jim. Take care.
You too. We've been talking with Sean Sublett. He is one of the authors of Climate Central's report on America's fastest warming cities. And as you heard, Boise is number 13 on that list. Up next, we're calling all comic fans. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.